This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Pleasure to have you with us here on the Golf Podcast ahead of the two tournaments in the Far East this week. We've got the BMW Masters and the CIMB Classic to get stuck into in just a moment's time. It is myself, Dave Kellner, with Mike Grenham to look ahead to this week's two tournaments. Mike, it has got an Asian feel to it this week. You wouldn't the European Tour and the PGA Tour both making the trips to the Far East to contest these two events, and it's going to be an interesting week.
It is, David. Yes, let's hope it's more interesting than last week in terms of our bets.
Yeah, I was just going to try and gloss over that, but
are you
going to
ignore that? Were you?
I was thinking about it. I was contemplating it while that jingle
don't
was
blame you.
While that jingle was playing. I was thinking,
let's pretend next week, last week never happened.
Precisely, absolutely. A couple of a very impressive performance from Webb Simpson in Las Vegas. First of all, he got to 15 under through the first couple of rounds and was never realistically in danger of being caught after that, Mike.
No. A good player, playing well, and who got a good lead, and never looked like being really even challenged, did he? So, Webb Simpson, we know how good he is. But a bit short in the betting, probably, to get lumping on, but fair play to those who did. But we struggled, didn't we, in that event? We did.
Yeah, we really did.
We were talking last week, weren't we, to Luke Dineen of the golfdigest.com.
Yeah.
Which is a very good website if you for the listeners who don't already know of it. I'm sure most of you do. And we were saying how golf betting can be quite hard at times. You know, it's lots of players, lots of runners. We proved it last week, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we matched on a couple, didn't we, in that event? Scott Pearcey and
they
Russell
both
Henley
missed
both missed the cut.
Oh, must do better.
Must do better. Webb Simpson's performance, tied second in greens in regulation, number one in strokes gained putting. That will get it done pretty much every week on tour, won't
it? Helps, doesn't it?
He made up 10 strokes on the field, strokes game putting, 2.5 shots a round, which is
if he continues
incredible.
That, Dave, he'll have a very good season because when if his putter gets hot, he's exceptionally good with it, isn't he? He holds them from all over the place. So he's a player we both like a lot, isn't he?
And in the event in Australia, the Perth International, former world number one amateur, Jin Jiong realised his potential to take out that tournament. His finish was apparently superb. Didn't see any of the event. Didn't see a golf shot struck in anger in that event. But he holed out on 15, 16 and 17. Made good putts on those three holes and held off Ross Fisher in that event.
Yeah, Ross Fisher as well played very well apparently. So I didn't watch it myself. Wasn't the right time of day. So good luck to those who backed him. He seems a good prospect.
Yeah, let's get stuck into these two events this week. Then we'll start off with the BMW Masters, which is this week's European Tour event, and that the players are entering the final stretch now as we look ahead to the Dubai World Championship. That's the Tour Championship at the end of the season on the European Tour. And the good news this week is both fields restricted to 78 players. And neither tournament has a cut, which is good after what happened last week.
It's good for us, that, Dave.
It is very good.
If we continue last week's exploits.
There's a huge pot of money up for grabs in the BMW Masters. The tournament's worth $7 million, and it began in 2011 when a field of 30 players, was it?
$7 million what dollars? US dollars?
US dollars, yeah. $7 million US dollars.
Not bad, is it?
It's not bad. A field of 30 players from the European and Asian Tours competed in 2011, but this tournament became a European Tour event last season. The host course is Lake Malawian Golf Club, and it's a heavily bunkered golf course, numerous water hazards in play. The main test here, though, is finding the right sections of large undulating greens, and putting well, I think, is a factor here this week. A long course as well, measuring over 7,600 yards. It is a par 72. Scoring will be low this week, Mike.
Yes, was it 21 under last year, Dave?
Yes, so Peter Hansen won last year.
Yeah, you've got to. One of your favourites, Peter Hansen.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't like him at all, do you?
I don't like him, but...
No, you don't rate him as highly as I do.
No, I don't, that's fair.
That's putting it diplomatically.
Diplomatically, but I don't dislike him by any means. He's a quality player, a Ryder Cupper. So you've got to score, go low, I guess, hit the greens, putt well, and get to somewhere around 20 under.
Henrik Stenson, who's chasing this double, isn't he, to win the FedEx Cup Series in America and then go and win the big prize on the European Tour as well. He's 13-2 favourite after his little absence. Rory McIlroy 15-2. Luke Donald is 14-1. Martin Kaymer 14-1. Lee Westwood is in the betting at 16s. Ian Poulter and Ross Fisher both 20-1. Bernd Wiesberger and Nicholas Kolsarts both 25s. And it's 28s and bigger the rest. I've had two bets in the event, Mike.
I've had one, so why don't you go first?
Okay, I'll tee off. Peter Uihlein is my pick.
I like that tee off analogy.
Yeah. Are you going with Peter Uihlein?
I'm not, no. He was
on my
list.
I thought you might have.
Yeah, the rationale being that he hits it a long way, maybe. You think distance matters here?
Yeah, I do think distance matters here. I know Ian Poulter's played well at the golf course as well, which would suggest that distance isn't a
and
huge
Luke Donald.
Factor. Yeah, and Luke Donald. But I think it helps. I think it helps.
I kind of do as well. I don't think it's critical, but I think it does help. I've not gone for a particular, an absolute bomber, but I don't think it harms to be able to hit it.
It's my bet of the week, I think, on taking both events into account. Peter Uihlein at 33-1. He's had a stellar season on the European Tour, as we've noted in previous podcasts. And it's been well documented. I like that he's had a couple of weeks off to prepare for this event in Shanghai. He finished second in the Dunhill, beaten in a playoff by David Howell, then went over to Japan and played in the Coca-Cola Tokai Classic, finishing seventh in that event, which isn't particularly startling given the quality of that field or the lack of quality in that field, but still a good performance. And he's played much of his best golf this season when coming back from a little break. He won in Portugal after 3 weeks off, tied for 10th at the BMW International after 3 weeks off, and most recently that second place finish at the Dunhill came after 3 weeks off the golf course.
How many weeks is he off?
He's only had 2 weeks off this time.
Don't work then, does it?
I treat that Japanese tournament as a week off, really, because of the lack of quality in the field. I am excited by his power game around here, though, Mike. He's averaging over 300 yards off the tee this season on tour, which is good for fifth in the stats. He's not that accurate, but I don't think that matters around here. I really don't think that's a big factor around this golf course. He's a super putter, and I think he'll, even though it's his debut on the course, he'll love the setup this week. Peter Uihlein to come out firing, and I don't mind the price either. 33-1 he is. Peter Uihlein, which I think is reasonable.
Yeah, double cap. It was on my mind, Dave. It was one of the players I listed down. It's quite a tricky event, this one, though. I'm only having the one bet. We do have last year's form, and of course there was that limited field event that Rory won the year before.
Yeah.
So I wasn't that convinced about anyone massively in it. There was just lots of players that I could have picked.
Yeah, I felt similar thoughts.
My long list was, for such a short field, was very long. So whittling it down to, I maybe got down to five or six players I could have picked. I thought, no, well, I'm not actually, I'm going to pick one that I really think is overpriced. So it's a bit of a price play, to be honest, because he's may have slightly gone off the boil. We'll have to see. This week could be the proving of that or not. But Jus Luton gets yet another pick on the podcast. Jus Luton? I can't even say his name. I've picked him for
Jus Luton.
Jus Luton.
Luton, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, anyway.
Yeah, is that the Dutch pronunciation?
One assumes.
Yeah, Jus Luton. He has been good to us this year. Won the Lioness, won the KLM, second in Ireland, fourth in Wales. Some really good finishes. Hasn't played that well in his last two outings, but was excellent in the, I nearly said the President's Cup, the Seve Trophy.
Yeah.
Really, really good there, where he won 4 of his 5 points. Fifth on stroke average on tour. 15th on greens in regulation, and that is important here. And I'm not so sure it's an accuracy course off the tee, but I think it is important that you're hitting the greens in the right number, because otherwise you're not going to get a low score. So, as we've said many times, these players if they can get on the green in the right number and the putter gets hot, they're in a big chance, particularly in those classes. My Dutch friend, he's won in Malaysia, won the Johor in 2011, which is obviously an Asian event as well, so it might not be that relevant, but just shows he can win around the world.
Yeah.
He's not just a European or a player that plays well in the UK mainland or something like that. Played here last year where he was 26, which isn't a breathtaking finish, but his game's come on leaps and bounds in the last year. 35-1 just struck me as a very, very, very decent each-way price. My slight worry is he may have gone off the ball, I have to say
yeah.
that. But I'm more than willing to take a chance there on him. I do think that there are players short of him, as we often said, that aren't as good as him.
We might have the free lunch Monday, or as I like to call
Luton
it.
Luton against you, are
the free lunch a week on Wednesday.
I haven't even had it yet, have I? My one-shot victory, Ryan Palmer over Matt
Jones.
Yeah,
that's it's almost
it's going to be tasty.
It's almost an embarrassment to take that one, man.
It is. I am slightly embarrassed to take that. Ryan Palmer, who went treble bogey on the easiest course on tour at the start of last week, but he won me a sandwich.
Yeah, he did win you a sandwich.
Good old Ryan.
He did win you a sandwich. It could be, couldn't it?
You're going to go Luton, you will.
I'm willing to lock that in now.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Uline versus Loughton.
I was going to say Loughton's a better player than him, but I do like Uline.
He's good, Uline.
They're both good.
Find out in a couple of years, won't we?
They're both good players.
Better players.
Yeah.
My second selection here, I'm going to actually take a punt with Rory McIlroy this week.
Take a punt? Well, he's not 100-1, is he?
Maybe that's a...
the guy who's finished first and second there the last 2 years?
Maybe that's poor use of the English language there. We might be talking semantics here. Maybe take a punt's not the right way of putting it. It does feel like taking a little bit of a chance with him, because there are negatives, aren't they, which have been highlighted. And we highlighted in last week's podcast the ongoing legal case with Horizon.
Yeah.
The questions about whether or not his relationship is on the rocks with Caroline Wozniacki. I don't think it is. I think that was made up.
Looks like
it was made up.
Oh, dear.
But Rory McIlroy at 15-2, I'm going to point win, almost as kind of a saver for the week.
And what price is he doing?
15-2.
Mm-hmm.
He loves it in China. A win and 3 seconds in 9 starts, and a number of top finishers in events in China in the interim as well. Played well in Korea last week. Is acclimatised, which could be a positive. His comments post his final round were very, very positive as well. He said he could have shot 61 or 62, ended up with a 67 to finish in a tie for second. Comes back to greens, he's mastered, having won here in 2011 and finished second here last year. Obviously, it's a setup that he loves. He loves these big par 72s where the space off the tee. If he dials in with his irons this week, which I think he will, I think he'll go close to winning. So a point win on Rory McIlroy at 15-2.
Yeah, one for the dark horses. Yeah, well, I'll take it a punt there.
What do you think to McIlroy this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, his course form's fantastic, obviously, and the second last week shows that he can't. I mean, it may not have been in a very major event, but at least it shows that he's in form. And if nothing else, he's got to be motivated to end the season with something, because he'll want to get this off his back, won't he? All this,
definitely.
You know, oh, he's lost his game, the management thing, blah blah blah. He'll want to, you know, shove the words down some people's throats, won't he? So he'll be motivated.
He's got the game to do it, hasn't he? As well.
Yeah, it would be no surprise to see him run away with it, Dave. And as you quite rightly say, he does play fantastically in China, so I do understand it. I do understand it.
Who would you take out of McIlroy and Stenson this week?
That is a very good question. They've both got very good chances, although is Stenson really a 7-1 player as well as he's played it this year?
And there's a little bit of a concern about Stenson's wrist injury.
Yeah.
And the fact that coming into this tournament he's saying he's undergolfed.
Yeah.
I'd actually play McIlroy. I'll be made to eat these words on next week's podcast, no doubt. I'd play McIlroy in a match bet against Stenson this week.
I don't think that's illogical by any means.
If you can get even money, maybe.
As much as
13-2 and 15-2, respectively.
As fantastically as Henrik Stenson has played this year, he has had a break after winning the FedEx, which may have a bit of mental letdown, you know, that $10 million prize. He's been superb this year. He's been the player of the last 6 months, Stenson. But let's be frank here. Rory McIlroy is a better player.
Yes.
More talented and will win more majors than Henrik Stenson ever will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't go against you there.
Okay. Any guys that just caught your eye that didn't quite... I know you said you had a long, long list
I'm not going to read out 64 of them like you were doing the betting. But, Ian Poulter plays well over here, doesn't he?
Yes.
So he must be considered. Louis Terzen as well. I think he might even hold a course record, or I might have made that up. But I just think he's the sort of player who wins in these kind of events. But he's just had that injury, hasn't he? He did look
decent in the President's Cup, I thought.
Which is what caught my eye.
Yeah.
And I just wonder whether he could bob up sooner or later. You know, he's an international player. He's someone who can win away from, you know, in the far-flung outpost, so to speak. And if it really is a bomber's course, well, Nicholas Cosarts is bubbling under a little bit, isn't he? If he was just a little bit bigger in the betting, I thought I might have got a squeaky bit bigger
on him. Yeah, he's 25-1, whereas Uline and Loughton are
just
bigger,
bit bigger
prices.
And arguably in better form.
Yeah. Two guys that I just need to mention, Tommy Fleetwood, dangerous debutant, and Victor Dubuisson as well. Mm. I get the feeling Dubuisson always seems a little bit undercooked. Just doesn't play enough at the moment for me, Victor Dubuisson.
He's got a lot of injuries, doesn't he?
Niggly little injuries, which are maybe a factor. So those two guys, both at 50-1, Fleetwood and Dubuisson, but happy with the two picks, especially the dangerous floater Rory McIlroy this week. Let's move on to the CIMB Classic, the sleeper, yeah. Phil Mickelson is the favourite for the CIMB Classic, which is this week's PGA Tour event.
You'll be picking him then, will you?
No, I'm not picking Phil Mickelson, 8-1. I think he's the one guy that from the guys at the top of the betting, that really wouldn't fancy this week,
yeah.
Mickelson.
Okay.
8-1. Keegan Bradley, 14-1. Sergio Garcia in the betting at 14-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 16-1. He pulled out last week, of course, from the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open.
Do you know why?
Just illness. It was unspecified, actually. I presume he was just under the weather. Nothing's come to light subsequently, and he's in this field. Nick Watney is 16-1. Bo Van Pelt, Bubba Watson, Ernie Els, Graeme Delatt, Jimmy Walker, and Ryan Moore, all 25-1. And it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. To a certain extent, the golfing landscape is changing, because this is the first time ever in FedEx Cup history that a tournament in Asia is counting towards the season-long points total for the FedEx.
Yeah, did you see that story the other week there, Dave, which I thought was fascinating? And it'd be great if it happened, but the USPGA are considering playing the PGA in a different country
rather
than America, which I think that'd be superb.
I saw a lot of different countries highlighted as possible venues. You'd expect it to go to a country with a bit of financial clout, wouldn't you?
Maybe Australia.
Yeah, or possibly
the
Far East. Yeah.
Yeah. But look, wouldn't it be great? They often get accused of being insular, don't they? The Americans.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good initiative that could really, you know, if they do it every few years, could really invigorate the PGA as the end of season major. So
yeah, because they dub it Glory's Last Shot, don't they? The USPGA Championship, but it lacks a little bit of definition, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it used to be a match play event, I think, didn't it, in its early days, and it's certainly the weakest of the four majors. So being innovative around it is something that I would applaud.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, interesting
entirely.
To see, Dave, isn't it, that this is now counting towards FedEx Cup points. And for that reason, there's a good field.
Yeah, the host track has changed. The tournament has moved from the mines to Kuala Lumpur Golf and Country Club. This is a course that has hosted the European Tour's Malaysia Open for the last 4 years. And it also hosted back in 2006 as well. It's a relatively short course by modern-day standards, measuring just short of 7,000 yards. And Kiridek Apibanrat won at the venue back in March, shooting 13-under in an event that was reduced to 54 holes. The young guns have performed well at this venue in previous years in the Malaysian Open, and that's no surprise because the humidity plays a big part here, Mike.
Yeah, and there's a lot of chance of storms as well, Dave, isn't there?
So yeah, you need it could to be disrupted again.
Yeah, they always often seem to be these events. Yeah, Kuala Lumpur event. So, yeah, I would say you need a bit of patience and, be prepared to put up with a bit of that. And, it's quite a tricky event to call, though, I think. New course.
It's a fiddly track, isn't it, as well?
It sounds like it is. I'm not seeing it, obviously, but it sounds like it is. So I've gone for someone who can just get it around quite accurately and if gets hot with a putter, could go well. I couldn't really put my finger on really a certain... I don't think... It doesn't look like it'll suit long hitters particularly, but I also noticed that it's played on Paspalum greens.
Yeah.
Which, that's interesting because there is an event on the US Tour, the Mayakoba, that's played... In fact, there's two. I think the Puerto Rico Open's also played on that kind of greens. Mm. That's got to help. Players who've played on that kind of green in that part of the world as well, that's the kind of thing that caught my eye. Because a lot of the players won't have played very much on Paspalum.
No, I agree with those sentiments. I've got a couple of picks.
You go first again, Dave. I've only got the one.
Okay, I'm going with Roberto Castro.
He was third on my list.
Yeah.
He just missed the cut.
He's maybe a little bit short at 35-1.
Possibly.
But I do fancy him. The results at the back end of the season on the PGA
really found his footing this year, didn't he?
Last 5 months on tour, played some outstanding golf, really did. Mm. And you look at his form in the FedEx Cup Series, it's a cut above most of the other players, really is. He finished top 25 in all the FedEx Cup events. Looking through Malaysia Open's played here as well, putting isn't a huge indicator, in my opinion, as to who's going to go well this week. That's where Castro has struggled last season. Tee to green, he was superb. 22nd in the driving accuracy statistics, 33rd in greens in regulation, finished with a 9th at Deutsche Bank, 15th in the BMW, and did put well when finishing 9th in the Tour Championship. So this guy, in exceptional form at the moment, solid from tee to green, should play well around this tight, technical golf course, and 35-1 is good enough for me. So I'm going to point each way on Roberto Castro.
I get that, Dave. As I say, he was third on my list, but I picked one player and I dumped one at the final moment. But my pick is a player, again, a bit like Luton, who I've picked before, but John Hur gets the call for me. At, I think 66-1 is the latest price.
Yes, it is.
Finished last season in very, very solid form. His last four events were third in the Wyndham, 15th in the Barclays, 22nd in the Deutsche Bank, and a slightly disappointing 49th in the BMW. So clearly, in much better events than this one, was there or thereabouts. Wasn't exceptional in the Fries, the first event of this new season, but was 30th last week in the Shriners. Her's a player who gets the ball around. He can be accurate off the tee, and when he's in form, he'll get. The ball in the green in the right number, can put decent when he's in form, has won on Paspalum greens at Mayakoba, won that the other year, has also got a win to his name in Korea, which is obviously where his heritage is from, and for my reading of it, he's a player that is often underrated. I think this course could be just the right kind of setup for him, and he'll know the type of grass very well, which could be a big advantage. I think 66-1 is a very, very decent price for him.
66-1 on John Hur. My second and final pick in the event is Daniel Summerhayes. I'm going with this week at 100-1. He's a guy you really need to catch in low scoring events. He is in decent form at the moment, with three top 30s in the FedEx Cup Finals and a top 25 in the Shriners last week. He's a very streaky putter, Daniel Summerhayes. Was just above the average last year on tour in terms of strokes gained putting. But his best performances last season came in low-scoring events, tied for fourth in the John Deere, shooting 18 under par, and the week after that, finished second, just beaten by Woody Austin in a playoff in the Sanderson Farms Championship, where he posted 20 under. You look back through his resume, and he does tend to compete on low-scoring tracks, doesn't fare as well when scoring's more difficult. So Daniel Summerhayes, just going half a point each way at 100-1 on the American.
I'd have a match bet on those two rather than...
And now
can
glad,
we change?
I'm glad we've locked in. We've locked in. I'd jump the gun. I prefer the Uline versus Loughton one, which I suppose at the prices is a little bit more fair, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is reasonable. Yeah, I was only being cheeky. Okay. Mark Leishman was on my mind, Dave.
Yeah.
Played decently in the President's Cup and has been in good form all year. I just think he's a player who could give a good account of himself. Again, a player who's quite a bit of experience internationally in different parts of the world. I think he's underrated again, but just maybe I'll watch him in running, and if he's going well, I might play him.
Yeah.
But for now, he was probably the closest. You'd expect Webb Simpson to play well again, actually, I think, wouldn't you? And the aforementioned Afi Barnrat, I think he could go well.
It's a step up in class for him, isn't it?
Yeah, nice to see a big lad doing well.
It is. Kiradek Afi Barnrat.
It is a step up in class for him, dude, but he's played well on European Tour events,
hasn't he?
You know, so, he's no mug.
No, I think he could go well. Other guys, quite a few guys. I thought you might have gone for Bill Haas.
Why?
I think he's got the sort of game that will be suited to this golf course.
Possibly, yeah. He's a great.
Finds a lot of fairways. Yeah, finds a lot of greens. And if putting is not a huge issue this week, I reckon Bill Haas could go okay.
What price was he, Dave? He was 33s, was he?
Yes, 28s now.
28s, yeah, that's right. He did cross my mind, but I'm happy with who I've picked, and 66-1 John Hill do for me if he can lift the trophy.
We might have a Twitter bet maybe in play, perhaps.
I've definitely kept a few stakes back because we've only had 1 year of the BMW event, and this event is on a new course really to all bar the likes of Afi Barnrat, so there might be something that catches the eye. So I'm going to mention the Champions Tour, and yep. I might even have an extra bet on that. But I'll definitely at M. Grenham and at D. Kellner will be much, much more chance of a Twitter bet than usual.
Yeah, well, it's usually about...
You never do it. I do
it. 5%. You do it, yeah. The AT&T Championship is this week's Champions Tour event. Bernard Langer is 5-1 favourite for the event. Fred Couples, 7-1. Kenny Perry, 9-1. David Frost, Kirk Triplett and Michael Allen, all 14s. Russ Cochran is 16-1, and it's 20s bar. This is where I get off the dance floor here and leave it open
look,
to you.
I know that some people are interested in the Champions Tour, and more probably aren't, but I always think it's a great betting vehicle, so I'd encourage people to have a think about it. And you can watch it on the internet as well, because it's usually covered on the Golf Channel, if you know where to look. The AT&T played in San Antonio in Texas. If I was to pick anyone from my life to win this week, it'd be Fred Couples, who's got a previous win here to his name. Just beating last year's winner, actually, David Frost, who's been a favourite of ours this year, but won this last year. In fact, Frost would have been my pick at 20s, I think, but he's just a little short at 14s. But those two should go very well this week. Lang is just finding a way to get beat every week somehow since that Senior Open. But a guy that's in very good form and at 20, 25-1 or thereabouts, John Cook is probably worth a little each way bet.
Okay.
Not as strong as the Cochran bet of a couple of weeks ago, but this is a greens and regulation course, and Cook certainly is in the top 10 for that on tour. He was third here in 2011, withdrew last year, but has won the event, albeit at a different course in San Antonio, a couple of times in the past. His form figures are 4th and 6th on his last two outings, and he's there or thereabouts in the Charles Schwab race, the Charles Schwab Championship, which is kind of the money list on the Senior Tour. I think he's top 10 in that, so he'll be looking for a really good finish here as the Champions Tour winds its way to a close. I think John Cook at that kind of price is worth an each way interest. There's one or two other little things I'm looking at in that event, so I might well have another bet in that.
Yeah, and that
troll
would be,
tweet.
Yeah, that would be posted on Twitter at dkellner and at mgrenham. Also, check out Golf Twitter Tipster, which is coming towards its conclusion. Only 4 weeks left, I think, or somewhere 4 or 5 weeks left. Ends at the Dubai Tour Championship. That's at Golf Twit Tipster, golftwittertipster.co.uk. Just to quickly go back to something else I wanted to mention about Daniel Summerhayes. You talked about the Puerto Rico Open and the Mayakoba Classic.
Yep.
His two best results in 2012 came in those two events, which is good news if you fancy a punt on Summerhayes. I'm trying to talk people into it here. 100-1.
Well, it could be a factor, Dave. Doesn't
could be a factor.
There are limited things to make your choices on this week, given that hardly any of them of the fancy players have played the course, so. Having an edge on the greens could be useful.
That about brings us to our conclusion. Who don't you want to win this week, Mike?
Who don't I want to win? It would probably be, well, unless I bet him in running Leishman in the CIMB. In the BMW, I would say the player that's closest for me was probably Poulter.
Poulter, yeah. It's tough for me this week. I've not really got one that I don't want to win. Maybe Charles Howell, who if I thought...
He won't win.
No, he won't win, will he?
But he won't win in 4,000 starts.
If he was a bigger price, I might have picked him each way in the CIMB.
I wouldn't mind being his agent because he rolls in the pounds year after year. But he doesn't... How many wins has he got until? One or two, has he? And he's very talented, but he's not a winner, is he? I don't want to disrespect a guy who's a great professional, but... For win bets, he's not for me, I have to be honest, until something clicks in his brain and he starts to get over the line. He'll get top 10 finishes regularly, but doesn't win enough.
And he's short enough.
He's always short in the betting for someone who doesn't win.
40-1 he is, which
that's not for me.
No. Okay, that about wraps us up for this week. I do hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Remember, you can download via iTunes and listen on William Hill's Audio Boo page as well. Go to audioboo.com, type in William Hill, and the podcasts are all on there.
Good quality on there, Dave, isn't it? Crystal clear.
It is crystal
clear. We almost sound posh.
Not quite. thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. And make sure your bets are on for the for pre-tournament CIMB Classic by 12:30. This evening, and the BMW Masters by 11:30. I hope you've listened to this before the tee off.
Yeah, we're late getting it done, aren't we, unfortunately?
In play. But
you will never mention the in play. We bet in play throughout, don't we?
Yeah, so some guy will be up watching the golf round the clock, won't they?
Yeah, trading. We will, Dave. We're professionals.
Yeah, of course we will.
Oh, the traders, yes.
Yeah,
of course they will.
Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.